If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to open them to the first book of the New Testament, book of Matthew, chapter 7. Matthew, chapter 7, verse 12. A number of years ago, there was a movie that was released that was entitled Pay It Forward. And if you remember that movie, there was a student in a social sciences class who was given an assignment. And they asked the class to come up with ideas as to how you could change the world. That was the assignment. And so this young boy in this class came up with the idea that what he would do is do something kind to someone and do something for someone else that they could not do for themselves. And so he looked to find someone, and he says, I'm going to do this for you. And once he does it for them, then he says, I don't want anything in return. I just want you to pay it forward. And so throughout the movie, this began to catch on. And other people began to do these acts of kindness. And people were looking for others that they could do things for them. And whenever they do something for them, they would then come back with the response, and they say, hey, you don't owe me anything. Don't pay me anything. I'm just wanting you to do this, but there's one thing I would like for you to do, and that is to find three other people and pay it forward. Find three other people and do something good to them. I don't want anything else in return. Now, that's a fascinating movie. And that idea for the movie could have really come back from a teaching that Jesus Christ gave 2,000 years ago that we know today as the Golden Rule. Because this is essentially the same thing that Jesus was saying on the Sermon on the Mount when he talked about the Golden Rule. Now, Jesus, if we will go with what the Golden Rule says and we apply that, we can change the world. And when you're looking in 2009 and all throughout 2008, all through the political campaign and everything, all we kept hearing about is we need change, we need change. Well, how can you change the world? Well, one of the ways you can change the world is to abide by and to practice the Golden Rule as it's suggested here in Scripture. And that is to apply this and to treat everyone that we meet. Now, let's just think about this for a minute. When you hear the Golden Rule, what do you think about? Well, I know two people in this church, Paul Bargonier and Jern Black. I know what they think about. Golden Rule Barbecue. They eat their three meals a day, I think. You walk in that with those guys, they all know them. They know their order. It's unbelievable. So for some people, Golden Rule is just a place to eat. For others, when you say the Golden Rule, what do you think the Golden Rule is? Some believe it's this. Do unto others before they do unto you. You ever heard that? Do unto others before they do unto you. That's not it. Well, some believe it is do unto others as they do unto you. Do unto others as they do unto you. Hey, you mean to me? I'm going to be mean to you. You hit me, I'm going to hit you back. You can be tacky to me, I'm going to be tacky to you. That's what the Golden Rule, right? Do unto others as they do unto you. Nah, let's see exactly what Jesus said and see if we can understand what this Golden Rule is. It's found right here in one verse in Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. And this is what it says. So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. Now, I like what the Phillips translation says, and the Phillips translation says this: treat men exactly as you like them to treat you. You treat others the exact same way you want them to treat you. Find out how you want to be treated, then you treat them that same way. So looking at this one verse, this world-changing verse, what are the characteristics of this verse? What are the characteristics of this Golden Rule that can help you and me to be a world changer in 2009? Are you ready? There are about four that are very easy to keep up with that you can apply and to make this rule a life-changing rule. Number one, the first is a positive pattern of life. It is a positive pattern of life. Now, throughout history, others have made statements that are similar to the Golden Rule. And sometimes you'll hear people say, oh, yeah, Jesus is just quoting what these other people said years ago. Well, not so fast, my friend, because what we want to do is want to look at what some of those quotes were. First of all, there was a man by the name of Tobias in 180 BC, and this is what he says. What thou hatest do to no man. What thou hatest to do, I think that should be thou hatest to do, right? Yeah. What thou hatest do to no man. So whatever you hate, don't do it to anyone else. What thou hatest, do to no man. Well, then the second one is found from Rabbi Hillel. And he was quoted in 20 BC, and somebody asked him a question. If you could stand on one leg and recite the entire law, what would you say? Well, naturally, it had to be a short sermon when you're on one leg. And so he condensed it and said this, what hateful to you, do not do to anyone else. So what is hateful to you, do not do to anyone else. And if it's hateful here, you don't do it there. Confucius, around 500 BC, this is what he says. Do not to others what you would not wish done to yourself. Do not to others what you would not wish done to yourself. Now, what is it that you notice about those three things? All three of those are negative. All three of those are negative. Every one of those says, don't do this because of this is what you hate. Don't do this. Don't do this. Christ is different because his is positive. And there is an enormous difference between a negative, grudging maxim that these three men said versus the positive initiative that Jesus said in his statement on the golden rule. The golden rule is to be a continuous pattern of life. It's a continuous pattern of life. It is something that is a positive, continuous pattern of life. We are to treat the others with the same considerations that we would like for them to show to us. And in every situation, we need to ask this question, how would I like to be treated in that situation? How would I like to be treated in that situation? Now, that is a very positive pattern of life. How would I like to be treated in that situation? You see, we treat others with those same considerations. We are to be able to see what we expect or desire of others and say, you know what? That's how I want to be treated, so I'm going to treat others that same way. It's not so much the things I don't want to do, it's the things that I do want to do. I put myself in the place of another person and say, how would I expect to be treated during that time? Just think if we did that, had a positive pattern of life of treating others as we would want them to treat us. Now, a very interesting study took place a number of years where a psychologist did a unique experiment among a group of college students. And he sat down with these group of college students and he said, I want you to write down the initials of the people that you just dislike. Write down the initials of the people that you dislike. It was interesting. Some of the students had a tough time with this. They kind of came up with like one or two. Some of them, they jumped all over it. Boom, 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 boom. They were writing them down. One student came up with 14 just like that, that they had. They took all the, and put them all together. And as he looked over his simple research, you know what he discovered? The ones who wrote down the most initials of people that they disliked found themselves on more of the sheets of the people who disliked them. And so the same ones who had all these people they disliked, guess what? Everybody else disliked them. You see, the golden rule, a positive pattern of life. The second thing about the golden rule and the way Jesus described it is it's proactive. It is proactive. It is a positive, step forward, take action, take initiative type of thing. Now, if you looked at the other negative statements that we had, the other ones are negative and passive. What they would say and what the world would say is, if you don't enjoy being robbed, then don't rob anybody, okay? If you don't enjoy being cussed out, don't cuss out anybody. If you don't enjoy hating anybody, being hated, then don't hate anybody, all right? It'd be almost be like if you don't enjoy getting held up in traffic, don't ever go out and drive your car. I mean, what this does, this negative, passive, encourages you to do absolutely nothing. And in fact, you could just sit still and not have any impact in anybody's life. Remember, I read a statement. It jumped out at me and it says, we can refrain from doing injury to anyone else yet be useless to everyone else. We can refrain from doing injury to anyone else, yet be useless to everyone else. We can withdraw into a world where I offend absolutely no one, but I accomplish no positive good. You see, what Christ came to do is Christ came to teach us not only what we are to know and what to believe, but how we are to act. Remember, he called us and he said in that same sermon that we are to be salt and light. And in order to be salt and light, it means you need to engage in the world. And when he gives us the golden rule and says we're to do unto others as we'd want them to do unto us, that is proactive. That's taking the initiative. And folks, when our world doesn't change, it's not the, we can't blame it on the darkness. You blame it on the light. Because you see, we're not shining enough light into a dark world. This world will naturally be dark. And Christ set us up as light bearers to be in the world. And so when we sit on the sidelines and we don't get involved in the world, whether it be the political process or in economics or into the intellectual discussions, when we don't get involved in any of that, then we're just a little light. We're hiding out over here in a closet and the rest of the world is dark and we're complaining about why the world is dark. The reason the world is dark is because we're not being the light. And the only way the world ever gets changed is the light to get into the world. And we can sit and see a dark room and complain about that room being dark, but until we turn the light on, we're not doing anything. And you may be the one with the flashlight that needs to walk into the room and open up the light. And that's what Jesus is saying. This is a proactive command. He's not saying hunker down and don't get anybody upset. He is saying be proactive. Think about how you would want to be treated and then treat other people that same way. You do it towards your fellow believers. You do it towards all people. Do to others what you would have them do to you. When you hear that, do to others what you would have them do to you, it requires a pulse. It requires a conscious effort. It's what gets you out of bed and gets you going. You know, some of the most depressing things that happened to me over the holidays was I had time to read the paper. Yikes. Oh. I remember Janice came down to we kind of get breakfast, and I said, I'm depressed. Why? I've been reading the paper. Oh, my goodness. And you know, it's easy to read all the things that are going on and then just say, well, I'm just going to stay in my little house. I'm going to hunker down right here. That's not what he said. You know, he says, do to others what you would have them do to you. That means a conscious, concentrated effort. This fulfills us with a purpose and with a drive. The message. I love that the message is they take the scripture and put it into into kind of an everyday language. This is the way the message does this. It takes the golden rule and it says this: ask yourself what you want people to do for you, then grab the initiative and do it for them. Ask yourself what you want people to do for you, then grab the initiative and do it for them. Grab the initiative. Get after it. Be positive. Be active. If you enjoy being loved, love others. If you enjoy receiving, then give to others. If you enjoy being appreciated, so I want people to appreciate what I do. Hey, be appreciative. Appreciate others. If you like for people to listen to you, hey, here's a clue. Why don't you listen to others? And whenever we listen to others, then they'll be glad to listen to you. Jesus knows that we can change the world. Do to others what you would have them do to you. Don't wait for them to do something for you. Take the initiative. You want to be forgiven? Offer forgiveness. You need affirmation? Affirm others. Do you feel hurt? Do you feel wounded? Do you feel broken? And you say, what I would love more than anything is just to have somebody put an arm around me or give me a gentle touch. Hey, guess what? Go and do that for others. Put an arm around someone. Give them a gentle touch. You know, do you appreciate tact? Then be tactful. Do you enjoy a nice compliment? Then compliment others. You see, do to others what you would have them do to you. The golden rule can transform our actions. If you will truly apply it, you would never be mean or cruel, but you'd always be kind. Because I don't know too many people that say, man, I just love when people are mean to me. You don't like it. So be kind to others. You would never be harsh, but you'd always be understanding. You'd never be selfish. You'd always be generous. You see, the positive and proactive golden rule says, I must go out of my way to help other people and to be kind to them. I'm taking the initiative. That's what I love about that golden rule. You grab the initiative. You're not sitting there waiting for someone to do something for you or to you and then say, okay, now I'm going to respond because that's the golden rule. No, don't wait on them. You take the initiative. Take the initiative. If you want to change your part of the world in 2009, take the initiative. You be the one. Kind of pay it forward. Be the one. Begin to look for people. How can I do something for someone else that maybe they can't do for themselves? Let me begin to take that initiative. Let me be the light in their life. Let me be the light of Christ. And when I've done that, let me tell them. When they say, why did you do this? What do you want in return? Just say, hey, you don't have to give me anything in return. I'm just doing this because I live for Christ and I want to do this to glorify Him. We can make some change in the world. So it's a positive pattern of life. It is proactive. But number three, it has a pure motive. It requires a pure motive. Now, often, the golden rule has been misstated by more people and more than probably anything else that's written down. Often we state it like this. We are to do to others so that they will do it to us. Now, when I told you, if you want to receive love, give love. If you want affirmation, give affirmation. Again, the purpose is not, I'm not just giving you affirmation so that you'll give it back. I'm saying if you do that, one of the natural responses will be that you will get affirmation. But the motive, it needs to be a pure motive. I am not doing something just so I can get it back. Do to others so that they will give it to us. Hey, if I'm nice to you down the road, you'll be nice to me. If I do something for you today, hey, maybe you'll do something for me tomorrow. I scratch your back, you scratch my back. Quid pro quo, something for something. I'll do something for you, but I'm waiting. I'm going to call you back later, and I'm waiting for you to come back and do something for me. That's not the motive that we're to have. I kind of brought back that story about the missionary that was walking down the street and saw a shabbily dressed man. And this lady missionary felt so sorry for him, and she took $50 and put it in an envelope. And when she put it in the envelope, she wrote on there, don't despair. And she gave a wonderful message and handed it to the shabbily dressed man. Next day, he came and knocked on her door, and he had this wad of bills about this thick. And he started giving her money. He said, whoa, what is this for? He says, I was just giving you that to be kind. He says, hey, you gave it to me. You said, don't despair. I went to the track. Don't despair paid 5-1, and she won. Well, that was not the motive, okay? That was not her motive on there. As a believer in Jesus Christ, this is not our motive to be our motive for good works. We are not to do good deeds to others so that we can get something in return. We do this because we're a part of God's family who are to love others and to serve others. You see, practicing the golden rule releases the love of God in our lives. And it enables us to help others, even those who want to hurt us. And this is a part of the Christian life. If you look back in chapter 7, verse 12, he says, so whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. Why? For this is the law and the prophets. He says, this is the Christian life. This is it all together. We do this because it is the law and the prophets. This is how we're to live when God reigns in our life. You're to treat others as you want them to treat you. That's the golden rule. Treating others as you'd have them treat you. Being a light in a dark world. Taking the initiative, not waiting. Not waiting on them, but taking the initiative. Not expecting something in return. But I will go with the scriptural principle. Whatever you sow, you will reap. And when you sow this golden rule, treating others as you want them to treat you, you will reap that in return. But my motive is, I'm going to live out this life of Christ, and I'm going to share God's love. You'll do things for others, and they'll ask you the question, why in the world did you do this? And you'll have an opportunity to tell them, because my life has been radically transformed through the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why I'm doing this. And don't sit on the sidelines and wait for something to happen. Take the initiative. Get after it. Now, let me tell you the last point. And this is, it is possible only through God's power. What I've talked to you about today is not natural. I know that. It's not natural to treat others and think of them first and do things for them on there. But it's possible only through God's power. If you've got your Bibles, you can open to Matthew chapter 22. And on Matthew 22, in Matthew 22, this is when Jesus was asked about what is the greatest commandment. Now, we just finished a series on the Ten Commandments, and we talked a little bit about this verse. But they were asking Jesus, out of all the commandments, which is the greatest commandment? And this is what he says in verse 36, when they say, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" He said to them, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets." Have you heard that before? On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. He says, so what has to happen is there has to be a love for God first, a centered in your life, a focus on God. Love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. You love God with all you got. And once you've done that, then you take that love and then you do a horizontal love to your neighbor. And we talked about it all during the fall. And so the golden rule is possible only through God's power. Only through God's power can this happen. And so as you start, and as I start the year 2009, what are the goals that I'm going to have? What are the goals that you're going to have? We'll have some goals that maybe physically fit or diets or financial or relationship. Let me ask you to sit there and look at this golden rule and say, you know, 2009 would be a wonderful time for me to say, "Lord, I'm going to take you at your word. I want to take this golden rule. And I want to do this in 2009. I want to keep that at the forefront. I want to do unto others as I would want them to do unto me. And I want to look out at others and I want to treat them the way that I would want to be treated." Now, how will this change? When this principle dominates your life, two things will change. And you just need to be ready for this. If you take the challenge of taking the golden rule and using it for 2009, there are two things in your life that will change. Number one, how I view others. The first thing that's changed is how I view others. I will see others as God's creation, whom I am to love and to serve. Now, completely change your view. You say, really? Mm-hmm. How I view others will change. I see them as God's creation. That means that when they mess up my order at the restaurant, I'll see them as God's creation. I won't get quite as upset. When people don't do the work that they were supposed to do, I will be firm, but I will treat them as the way I would want to be treated, right? When other things come up in life that would cause me to want to jump down someone's throat, maybe I need to hold back. How would I want to be treated if I made that same type mistake? On and on and on. Or when I look out and I view others and I see that they're in some tough situations, my first judgment will not be, well, they just messed up. That's the reason that they're having this tough time, because they didn't plan well. They didn't do this or that. Maybe my heart will change a little bit. And I'll say, I don't care how they got in this situation. I want to try to reach out and see if I can help them through that situation. It'll change how you view others. But the second thing is, it will change how you structure your life. I will take the initiative in loving and serving others with a pure motive. Just think if you structured your life that way. I'm going to love and serve others, and I'll do it with a pure motive. Not that I get anything back. And this sermon comes with no guarantee. It's not like you're going to come back in July and say, "Okay, Danny, what was I guaranteed because I started treating people the way I should? Did I get more money at work? Did I get the assignment at work? Did I get the promotion? Did I get straight A's? You know, did all of that come about?" I'm not promising you anything, because it's a pure motive. I'll tell you one thing I can promise you, though. Whatever you sow, you will reap. It's a law of the harvest. And when you begin to sow good things in people's lives, you will reap a great harvest. And you'll be a different person. I'll be a different person. If we take this golden rule and say, I want to treat others as I wish they would treat me. You know, in the storyline of the movie Pay It Forward, people first needed to have something done for them by someone else before they could pass on a good deed. So someone had to have something done for them. And then when it was done for them, they would then pass it on to someone else. That's not all different from our relationship with God. Because you see, what God did was he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to do something for us that we could never do. And that is that we could not overcome the penalty and the guilt of our sin. And so what God did was he sent Jesus Christ to come to die on the cross for our sins, to be raised 3 days later, to conquer sin, conquer death, and take care of the penalty of sin. He did something for us that we could not do for ourselves. And if you're a believer in Christ, then you have received that incredible gift. And since you've received that incredible gift to know that you are a child of God, you are saved, you know that you'll spend eternity in heaven one day when you step out of this world, what God is saying to you today is pay it forward. Take this wonderful gift that I have given to you, and he says, and then share this with others. And as you have been empowered with the Holy Spirit, you will be able to view people differently than other people view people. You'll be able to structure your life differently so that you can reach out and touch and help other people. And your motives will be pure. And what you can do is you can do these things even as you wish others would do these things to you. And if you do that, you can be a world changer in your world in 2009. And if we all do it, we can change this community, we can change the city, the state, the country, and a world by just passing this forward and paying it forward, okay? Let me ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes for just a moment. Heavenly Father, I thank you that we can look into your word and to have one verse of what your son has shared with us. And in looking at that one verse, to see how it could radically transform the way that we live. Lord, we don't want 2009 to be a year that when the ball drops in 2010, that we look back over 09 and say, hey, I don't really know what happened in 09. Nothing really life-changing happened. Lord, we don't want to be there. Father, we want to be on the front line, and we want to be used by you to be world changers. And Lord, we know life is short, and we know the life that you've given us here on earth, that it can pass just like a vapor, just like a mist. And while we're here, Lord, we want to make it count. And so, Lord, 09, help it to be a year where our focus is on you. Help it to be a year where each one of us is looking out to others and asking, how can I treat them? How can I help them? What would I want someone to do for me if I was in that same situation? And may we share with them the bright light of Jesus Christ. And so I pray now, Lord, that in this service, that if you're speaking to individual hearts that need to make a commitment for this year, that today would be their day. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.